We are now turning ourselves over to single-family for rent developments. We have a large group of people coming forward here. Bill Dahlstrom, Luke Friends, and I believe the last one that's coming up here. If you're not going to, please, please don't fall, Luke. And then Colton Katzen. So without further ado, and I don't want to interrupt your time, we will turn it over to you all.
Thank you. Again, I'm Bill Dahlstrom with Jackson Walker. Been doing land use planning law for 36 years, primarily in North Texas, but been able to get all over the state. And I am a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners, so I've got to give a plug to the American Planning Association. All you who are involved in this practice, I encourage you to get involved in the APA. You'll learn a lot of great design issues. You'll understand where the planners are coming from on policy and in implementation. So I think it makes sense to work together with the planning groups. Luke Franz and I primarily represent developers. And I appreciate Jack's comment earlier, previous presentation, where there's a zoning case, you get all these no multifamily signs in the neighborhood. I've seen a few of those over the years and a lot of different types of projects. But it seems like the last couple years, I get a call once a month, you know, guy says, hello, William. I said, well, hello, this is Bill. And he says, well, I was referred to you by Reed Wilson. And I've got this great tract of land, and it's a single family tract of land. And I said, well, so what's the issue? He says, well, I want to build these units and I want to rent them out. And it seems to be like one of these hot topics that just keeps continuing to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, there are a lot of, when I first started getting involved in these, representing these groups, they were groups primarily out of Arizona. But it seems as if many of the big home builders are involved in it now, and many of the big multifamily developers are involved with it now. So, we're not going to be talking about short-term rentals. I think we'll leave that to Terry Welch tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the single-family for rent developments, and we're going to do it in basically three steps. I'm going to turn over to Luke here in just a second, who's going to talk about the different types of short-term rentals. No, right? Single-family for rent. The purpose, you know, built for rent communities, what we're trying to accomplish with these, and the regulatory and policy considerations with built to rent. I keep saying that. I shouldn't have brought it up. And then we have Luke went to Texas A&M undergrad. Actually went to Dallas Jesuit High School, then went to Texas A&M, and then went to Notre Dame Law School. And then we thought it was important to provide a developer's perspective, so we asked Colton Katzen, who's the Assistant Vice President of Urban Moment, to come and talk about, you know, why is this an attractive use, attractive to developers and investors. Colton's main responsibilities are capital formation and of debt and equity and asset management. And Colton went to the University of Texas. And then I'm going to come back up and talk about a three pretty exciting, but I thought was pretty cool case studies that we've done over the last couple of years. So Luke, why don't you take it from here?
Yeah. And so I guess we wanted to provide some little bit of background before we get into the meat of the single family for rent. And the title of this presentation, and we'll continue using the term single family for rent or build to rent. But the regulatory perspective is that the for rent aspect is something that shouldn't be taken into consideration when cities are evaluating these projects. And those are for two reasons. First is that, as we likely know, zoning that limits land use based on race or economic status or age, et cetera, are likely held invalid under due process or equal protection. And our focus here would be, of course, economic status, and that a city can't determine that the land use that you're on is different because you're a renter versus an owner. And second, the second aspect of this is that, as you likely know, municipalities gain their ability to regulate land use through enabling statutes. And so up here on the screen, we put the Texas enabling statute up there. This enabling statute delegates the right for cities to regulate the land use, but not the user. As we all know as well, zoning runs with the land and not with the user. And so the basic simple example is that if I own, or if Jane Doe owns a house in a single-family neighborhood and chooses to then rent out that house, the underlying zoning isn't changing. The use isn't changing, whether that's she's renting it out or she's living in it herself as the owner.